So the story that I have to share with you this evening happened a few years ago. It was before the pandemic, and when my daughter, who is now out of college, was a junior in high school. She and her boyfriend at the time were at a Halloween party, and I remember they were dressed up as characters in the movie, or from the movie, Space Jam. They were dressed in these basketball tunics as Bugs and Lola Bunny. Did I get that right? Okay. I had offered to pick them up from the Halloween party when they were ready to go. The house where the party was a ways away from the house where we live in Baltimore. It was about a 40 to 40-minute drive north, lots of winding roads and trees. It was a beautiful autumn evening, cool, crisp air. The moon was bright, and the weather was not unlike the weather that we have been experiencing here in Baltimore of late. And so I remember the drive was pleasant, and when I got close to the house, I decided to pull over on the side of the road and park, put my hazards on, and I texted my daughter that I had arrived. Well, I have to confess that where I chose to pull over to park was not the wisest place to pull over. I like to think of it as creative, resourceful parking. You might have other words to describe it. But there I was. I had pulled over. I didn't think it was going to be a problem because I was in my car, the hazards were on, and I didn't think that my daughter and her boyfriend were going to be that long. Well, I hadn't been there very long when I noticed a man who had come out of the house, get into a red pickup truck that was in the driveway, and started backing out of the driveway and then heading towards me. And when the red pickup truck was directly opposite me on the other side of the road, the driver rolled down his window. And I immediately noticed that he had been drinking, and all of a sudden, this tirade starts coming out of his mouth, and he is yelling at me and cursing at me, "You are an effing idiot. What are you doing parking your effing car here?" And, just going on and on. And I was just stunned and shocked at his demeanor, and didn't have a reaction or response in that moment. I just was stunned into silence like a deer in the headlights. And so the next thing that came out of his mouth was, "Well, goddamn it, you don't even effing speak English." And then he began to drive away. Well, if he had said those words to me even a week before, maybe I would have shrugged it off or laughed it off or just kept on listening to the music, enjoying the air, the night air, the moon. But it just so happened that in the days leading up to that evening, I had been participating in a week-long workshop. And the workshop was focusing on community organizing and congregational development and the intersection between the two. And at the heart of the week of learning and training was the idea that it is essential to be able to tap into your anger at injustice. And, true story. And that it's important to be able to tap into that anger, not run away from it, in order to fuel your energy to organize people and organize money to change the world as it is, closer to the world as it should be. So I had just had a week-long training in all this. This is someone who I grew up in a household where, parental figures and authority figures were allowed to be angry, but not children, and also our pervasive, stereotypes or cultural expectations around women and anger. But it was a terrific workshop, and clearly something sunk in, because before I knew it, I was out of the car, and what had happened was the man in his pickup truck had pulled a U-ey and parked about 100 yards away from me, and in perfectly clear English, I just lit into him. And I said, what do you mean I effing don't speak English? I'm an effing American citizen. I was effing born in Newark, New Jersey. And on top of that, I effing went to the Bryn Mawr School, and I effing, you know, graduated from Harvard, and I'm an effing Episcopal priest, and my congregation has a bunch of lawyers who can sue your effing. I mean, I, you know, it just came out. And at this point, there were two cop cars that had pulled up by the house to shut the party down, and then they were with me and this man. And so the cops had gotten out and were trying to calm me down, but all I remember saying is, I'm not moving my car until that man apologizes to me. And the rest of it is a little foggy. There was a lot of adrenaline coursing through my system. And at this point, you know, my daughter and her boyfriend at the time have come out of the party and are looking at me. And, you know, I'm like, get in the car, you know, get in the car. And so I just remember they got in the car. I remember driving away. And as I was driving back, what was going through my mind and heart was, oh my goodness, I am a woman. If I had been a man, and if I had been an African-American man tapping into my rage, at the best case scenario is that I would have been cuffed, you know, or, you know, in the best case, I probably wouldn't be driving home with my daughter and her boyfriend. And so my heart, I was just, that was all going through my head and heart. And so a few months later, the congregation where I serve officially joined something called BUILD, which Reverend George Hopkins and I and other leaders here work tapping into that anger in a constructive, intentional way with people all across Baltimore to shift the Baltimore that is closer to the Baltimore that should be and we know can be, continuing to work together to dismantle the barriers and the illusion that we are separate, because we are all are one. So thank you for listening to me.